Chapter 80. Fi'ir was standing at a table in Ezra's secret workroom under Black Barrow with a polishing cloth in his hand. He wasn't polishing the blade. He'd polished it a dozen times already, and it didn't need polishing in the first place.
"It's finished," he said aloud. "Except for one thing."
Fi'ir unveiled the sword. His fraud was nearly Sior Celestos' twin. He had held Sior Celestos, had marveled at it, had studied every whorl in the patterns of the Mystaril. The heads of twin dragons were etched in either side of his blade, facing the tip, dragons of sun and moon in accordance with Sioran mythology. The blade had a single edge, curving slightly to give it more cutting surface. The thicker spine of the blade was to give it strength, the flexible iron core compensating for the sharp, hard fragility of the steel edge. This blade's form was pure show. It was Mystaril, and it wouldn't break even if a man stood on the side of the blade and the wielder lifted it. Despite its incredible strength, Sior Celestos was lighter than it should have been. The Mystaril folded and refolded like steel, had the same steel pattern Sior Celestos' blade had borne. The difference between the original and Fi'ir's fraud was that the original held the fires of heaven. In response to danger or magic, or its wielder's mood, the dragons could breathe what looked like fire out of the tip of the blade. Fi'ir knew the weaves to duplicate that now. What he didn't have was a heartstone to hold the weaves. Certain stones resonated with different frequencies of magic. A ruby resonated with fire magics, specifically those having to do with red and orange light. If a stone was pure enough and exactly the right size, which varied by weave, a resonance could be built that sustained itself. This was nearly always imperfect, which was one reason magic imbued in items failed after a time. Fi'ir needed as perfect a ruby as possible to be the dragon's heart.
"This pot was supposed to be simple," Fi'ir said.
Even his own voice was depressing.
"The prophecy was, the greatest red gives dragons heart and head."
The greatest red had to be a big ruby, a heartstone, but placed at the dragon's head, on the sword. Fi'ir had done a dozen impossible things over the course of the winter. With the barest of clues he'd been given in his time in Ezra's wood, he'd come to Black Barrow and found the secret tunnel to this room. He'd found the magically hardened gold tools. He'd avoided the hundreds of Würdmeisters who shared the shadowed city with him and found 7 broken Mystaril swords. He'd discovered Ezra's notes, a treasure any maker would give his right arm to read. By all the gods, Fi'ir had learned to reforge Mystaril. He'd made the most beautiful fraud in history. But he couldn't find a red rock.
"Could any other smith now living make this?"
Antoninus Wervel asked, his voice low. Fi'ir shrugged. Antoninus waited. Fi'ir gave in.
"No."
Antoninus picked up the blade reverently, and in spite of himself, Fi'ir was warmed. Antoninus wasn't a maker himself, but he appreciated the mastery required for what Fi'ir had done. He turned the blade over, examining it.
"I thought you put your crossed war hammers on it."
In a moment of vanity, well, 2 hours of vanity, Fi'ir had etched his smith mark near the hilt. As a boy, he'd loved the stories about Oren Raisin, one of Jorsen's champions. Fi'ir had been the only person he knew who could even think of wielding 2 warhammers as Oren had. Later, he'd mostly given it up. It was a lot easier to find someone to train you with swords. It's not much of a forgery if you put your name on it. It's still there, but you have to know how to uncover it.
You should be proud, Fir. You've made a thing of beauty.
Without the dragon's heart, I've made nothing.